Okay, good morning, everyone. Welcome back.
Good morning, Rabbi.
Ah, Gigi's in the house. Gigi had her coffee this morning. Okay, first of all, I want to thank our sponsor this morning, generally sponsored by Joseph and Marilyn Statfeld, for Refuah Shlema for their nephew, Betzalel Tzvi Ben Nechaya Yocheved, who's having surgery, and our learning should be a zechus for Refuah Shlema. That is also a chazaka now, 3 weeks in a row that the Tillim class has been sponsored. So if anyone wants a sponsor in the future, obviously we welcome sponsorships. Also in the lobby on your way out today, for those who have not yet already gotten, I'm good, I already had mine, is free coffee this morning, which is sponsored by the Lions family, I believe. And the details on the weekly, but on your way out, you are welcome to help yourself to some free coffee from the BRS Cafe. Okay. Today we are going to read one of my, there should be lots more going around.
Any more?
Yes. Yeah. Back in the back. Oh, here. Today we're going to read one of my favorite Prakim of Tehillim. It's a Parak in Tehillim that I'm guessing resonates with you as well. We read it every Shabbos morning. And we read it after one of the chapters that we studied a few weeks ago. And we'll discuss why we read those two Prakim of Tehillim one after another and what's the connection between the two of them. And to be honest, I've never really studied this chapter of Tehillim. I've said it many times. And as I learned it in preparation for this class, I realized why it resonates with me so profoundly. And it's really a jam-packed parak of Tehillim. Every line is really a shiur in and of itself. And there's absolutely no way to cover all of it in one class. So we'll do the best that we can. And my best hope is not that everyone's going to walk away from this being able to internalize every single line of this Tehillim, because that's almost impossible. But my recommendation would be that everyone would take one line of this Tehillim and try to internalize that line. And so as we're learning together, again, every line is so juicy and so packed. So take one line that might jump out of you, that might resonate with you, that might relate to you and where you are emotionally and spiritually at this moment in time. And let's say from now until next week, you're going to say that's going to be my line. And when I need chizuk, when I need strength, when I need emuna, when I want to work in my relationship with Hashem, there's no way I'm going to be able to conquer this entire chapter of Tehillim. But at least one pasuk, one verse that I'm going to commit myself to internalizing and to making sure that it resonates with me. So let's jump right in. Again, it's going to be familiar with a lot of us, hopefully, because we do say it for those who are in shul for shacharis every single Shabbos morning. But hopefully, as we always do, we'll glean greater insight into what the Tehillim is, why we say it, and ultimately how it relates to our lives. So we start off by saying, L'David b'shanoso es tamo lifnei avimelech v'igarsheu v'ilach. This is a unique chapter of Tehillim because it relates to a very specific historical context. What is that specific historical context? Well, who is Avimelech? So Avimelech, we know from a few weeks ago in the Parsha, right, when Avram finds himself in, right, in Mitzrayim. Okay, what does that have to do with David? So the answer is, it has absolutely nothing to do with David, and that's part of the challenge of this chapter of Tehillim. The answer is that we're talking about here Achish, who is Melech Gat, and it was the king of the Plishtim. And essentially, it's referring to a very specific story in Sefer Shmuel, where David HaMelech is running away from Shaul, and he flees to the Plishtim, hoping that the Plishtim are going to offer him refuge and that they are going to protect him. Of course, at first, Achish agrees to protect David HaMelech until his generals come forward and say, "Why are you protecting David HaMelech? After all, don't you remember what he just did to Goliath? Don't you remember how he just killed this great individual?" And so Achish turns on David and he's prepared to kill David. David HaMelech starts to panic and he realizes that he has to do something quick to save himself. And so what he does is he feigns insanity. He pretends to be crazy. And Achish ultimately says to himself, "What do I need this headache for? This guy has more problems than I need." And so David HaMelech is driven out, and that ultimately saves David HaMelech's life. So it's that instance of David HaMelech pretending to be crazy, and we'll see that if you want to pretend to be crazy, what do you actually have to become a little bit? Crazy. It doesn't, right? There's Rabbi Dr. Abraham Twersky, I once heard him speak. So we were talking about, he was talking to a group of rabbis. So we were saying how sometimes it's difficult because you're counseling someone. And it's very hard not to see yourself in their issues. So to personalize the person that you're counseling. So he says that his first day that he was counseling, he wrote himself a note. And he put it in his desk, and he always had it inside his desk throughout his entire tenure as a therapist. And it said on it, reminder, the patient is on the other side of the table. Right? So I've always tried to remember that. But that's the first pasuk of this tilm. David bishanoso es tamo lifnei avimelech. When he changes his tam. Tam, say the Mefarshim, is referring to a speech. In other words, he made himself someone who he was not. Vayigarshehu vayilach. And therefore, he threw him out. He drove him out of the community. Avimelech here, says the Radak, said the Mefarshim, is just a shame kinoi. In other words, it's a way of referring to plishtim kings. For example, Paro. Paro is not speaking about one individual. Paro is just a general name for any king of Egypt. So too, that is what Avimelech refers to. It's just a general reference to the kings of the plishtim. Now, to give us a little bit of an insight into the background to this chapter of Tehillim, turn to page 3 of the packet that I gave you. Now, I know what some of you are thinking, which is that is a lot of Hebrew, and therefore you are likely to tune me out. But please do not do that, because this is an astounding comment in the Midrash. We are going to read it together slowly, and so that even if you are not familiar with the Hebrew, we'll study it together, and hopefully you will find this as amazing as I found it. I even numbered the paragraphs so that as you get lost, you can catch up with me again. So we're in paragraph number 2. Davar acher es hakol asa yafa bito. Right, Hashem does everything in the right time. In the first paragraph, the Medrash talks about how Hashem created and destroyed many worlds until he was ultimately satisfied and settled on the world that we... I'm sorry, I didn't even realize it was... Until he was ultimately satisfied and settled on the world that we have now. In other words, Hashem created many worlds and he said, no, that's not the right fit for this time, and that's not the right time fit for this time. And he ultimately came to the world as we experience it now, and Hashem said, ah, es hakol asa yafa bito, now is the right time for this world to be created. Then the Medrash says the following, in paragraph number 2. Kol ma she'asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'olamo yafa asa. Anything that Hashem creates in this world is beautiful. Amar David lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem says before Hashem. Now, spoiler alert. This comment of the Midrash will raise many more theological questions than I am prepared to answer today. Okay? As they say, the question is likely going to be more satisfying to us than the answer. But it's a question that I would imagine many of us have struggled with. Amar David lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kol ma she'asisa yafa, ve'achachma yafa esa min hakol. Everything you created is beautiful, but the most beautiful thing, Hashem, is wisdom. Next line. Aval hashtus, insanity, craziness, shebarata, that you created, mahana yesh lefanecha, why did you create that? Right? Why did you create people who don't have the mental wherewithal and the mental capacity to be able to function and exist in this world? People who can't hold down jobs or stay in relationships, and people who have to be institutionalized, and right? Why? What possible good can come out of your creating people? Shtus here is a sense of insanity. And again, I think we've all struggled with those types of questions. When a person walks in the marketplace, and they're so insane that they're ripping their garments and they're speaking out of turn, and everyone's laughing at that person and saying, what a crazy person. Hashem, that's a glorification of your name. That's beautiful for you. Again, as I said, the theological question is stronger than any answer that we are going to be satisfied with. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, paragraph number 3. God hears David HaMelech's question. And he says back to him, Al hashtus ata kore tagar, chayecha shetitztarchlo. You're questioning me about my creating this thing called insanity. By your life, you are going to need it at some point. V'chein amar Shlomo, and this is as Shlomo Melech says, Baz ledavar yichabelo. You make fun of something, that's going to come back to bite you. Davar acher, or another formulation of this conversation, Hashem says to David, you're questioning me about shtus. Chayecha shetitzta'er. I promise you that something bad is going to happen to you. Vatispalel aleha. You're going to be davening for this concept called insanity. Ad she'nena lecha. Until ultimately, I'm going to give it to you. So David HaMelech questions, how could Hashem create mental illness? How could Hashem create people who are clinically insane? People who many people look at and they laugh at and they scoff at and they're institutionalized. How is that fair? And Hashem says, you're questioning me? Not so fast. You're going to need this concept that you're questioning why I created it. Paragraph number 4. Lo asama'at. It was a very short time afterwards. Ad shehalach David etzel Achish. David goes to Achish. Again, this is the story of our Perek of Tehillim. Shene emar, vayakam David, vayivrach, mibnei Shaul. David HaMelech is running away from Shaul. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem says, David, etzel Achish atah holech. You really think you're going to find refuge in protection by Achish? Et mol haragta Galiat, ve'achav shel Galiat shomer rosho shel Achish. Just yesterday you killed Galiat. And do you know who happens to be the bodyguards of Achish? It's none other than Galiat's brothers. Hu ve'edav, lo nistapeg damav, his blood isn't even dry. Ve'ataho lechetzlo ve'charvo biyadecha. You think that they're going to allow you to live in peace and harmony by Achish when you killed their brother just a day earlier? Kevan Shero also, when these guards of Achish saw David HaMelech, Amru, they said, Hare Agisu Ba Baraglav. Amru Lo Hare David Shehara Achiv. In other words, they start casting aspersions on David. They say, you're not really going to allow David to be here. Bo Eitzel Achish Amru Lo. Narog Lamisha Aragas Achenu. They say, Achish, can you give us permission to kill David, who just yesterday had killed our brother? Amar lahem Achish, velo b'milchama hargu. David HaMelech says, Achish says, you can't create a moral equivalency. David HaMelech killed your brother in the context of war, right? Goliath had challenged the Jewish people. And so in the context of war, yeah, you win some, you lose some. But here he's an innocent civilian. And you want me to go and to allow you to kill David HaMelech? Vilo achichem haragoso velo b'malchama haragu. Didn't he? He killed him in war. V'achshav shaharug ze achichem lo kachis neimo. Right, again, this is not what he signed up for, so to speak. Okay? They say, whatever you want us to do, I'll do. David HaMelech, second last line of paragraph number 4, Ba'osa Shah Nisyari David. David HaMelech catches wind of these conversations and he starts to get very nervous. Omer, he says, Yom Ira Ani Elecha Eftach. On the day that I fear, to you I will place my bitachon. I will have my emuna in you. Hischil David Mevakesh Mispalel. David starts to daven and he says, Ribono Shalolam Anini Bishah Hazu. Hashem, please answer me. Please get me out of this precarious situation. Please solve the problem that I am in. Paragraph number 5. Amr lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So God says back to David, Ma ta mevakesh? What exactly are you asking of me? Amr lo meoso ashtus shebarasa shekarasi alecha tagar. David HaMelech says, that exact same thing that I was questioning you about, that's what I want right now. I want you to give me the capacity to act like a crazy person right now. Amar lo, Hashem says back to David, Velo amarti lecha baz ledavar yichba lo. Isn't this exactly what I told you would happen? Right? That if you made fun of something, that I was going to cause you to be inflicted with it. Hoil v'cheinu ani nosnei lech. Right? Because I promised you that, now I'm going to give it to you. And that's what the Pasuk says in our chapter of Tehillim, chapter 34, LeDavid, Bishanoso, Estamo, Lifnei Avimelech, when he changed his nature in front of Avimelech. V'chi Avimelech haya? Was this really Avimelech? Velo Achish haya? It was Achish, the king of Plishtim. V'lama nikra shmo Avimelech? Shayet tzadik Avimelech. He was a righteous person, just like Avimelech. In other words, do you remember the story of Avimelech? Remember Avram and Sarah pretend that they're sisters and not that they're spouses, and Avimelech takes her to be a wife, and all of a sudden Hashem causes bad things to happen to Avimelech, and Avimelech says, wait a second, had I known, I never would have treated Sarah this way, but I had no way of knowing. Right? So the Medrash says Avimelech was just like the wrong person at the wrong time, wrong place at the wrong time. He didn't mean to do something wrong, he was put in a position where he did something wrong. So Achish is the same way. In other words, Achish was just convinced by his handlers to do the wrong thing. But he, in himself, was a good person. V'kevan sheshavet David kach, when David heard this, nisbahel umisyarei, he started getting very emotional, and he started getting afraid. Next line, asa atzmo keshote, he made himself like an insane person, umishana atzmo, and he changed his entire nature. V'haya kosev al delasos, he used to start writing graffiti, right? Started writing graffiti on the walls. And what did he write? Achish melech gos chayev li mea ribo vishto chamishim. That Achash owes me lots of money, right? And his wife owes me a lot of money also. Ubito shel Achish haisa hi ve'ima shotos. Oh, I'm sorry. And then the Medrash tells us something interesting. That the daughter and wife of Achish were also shote. They were also crazy, insane. Vayitzoako shtehem, umishtos mifnim. They used to also, like inside the palace, they would also be screaming and saying crazy things. V'davaraya tzoek umishate b'chutz. And David's sitting outside the palace, and he's also screaming. So if you're Achish, right? Where do I escape? Right? Where do I escape? We have this nowadays. It used to be, like up until a year ago, my kids used to be asleep by like 7 o'clock, right? And we had something in our house called nights, where like my wife and I could actually speak to each other. Now we have this phenomenon, our kids don't go to sleep. It's crazy, right? So at like 9:30 at night, they're like knocking at our door. So you know what we do? It's called the lock, right? We lock our door and we say, enjoy, have fun. You want to read on the couch till midnight? God bless, but you ain't bothering me anymore. So, right? So this is Achish. He says, I can't escape in the palace. I can't escape outside of the palace. So what happens? Amar lam Achish, v'chiyodi matem bi shechasem mishugayim ani. I got enough crazy people in my life, right? V'osa shah, what does he do? Samach David sheyasa lo hashtus umitoch osa simcha asa lo hashir azos. So Achish can't handle David anymore, right? He can't get rid of his wife and daughter. So instead he gets rid of David. He says, get rid of this guy. And so David HaMelech gets so excited, so what does he do? He sings this song. That's the backdrop to our chapter of Tehillim. So it's not Bishas Maisa, as we say. In other words, it's not as he's going through it, but it's after he was saved from this experience as a result of Hashem creating this miracle and allowing David to feign insanity. David HaMelech now sings this song. And then in the sixth paragraph there, it says, Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, David, tova hi hashtus. Don't you now realize that even the thing that you questioned, even that's good. Even that's good. And obviously, what's the subtext to the entire Medrash? What is the Medrash ultimately communicating? Is that everything Hashem does, even the things that we don't understand, there's a purpose. There's a purpose. There's a role for everything, even things that we don't understand. Now again, I am fully acknowledging that it raises more questions than it answers, but that's clearly what the Medrash is driving us at. Now with the backdrop to all of that, we can now read the Perek of Tehillim. Okay? So we understand Pasuk Aleph. L'davo, l'david bishanoso, es tamo, lifnei avimelech, v'yigarsheu v'yilach. David HaMelech is singing this chapter of Tehillim after this miraculous confluence of events where Hashem created a miracle, Achish throws him out, and David HaMelech is saved. Avarcha es Adonai b'chol eis. David HaMelech says, I will sing to Hashem. I will praise Hashem at all times. Tamid tilaso b'fi. His praise is tamid. What is tamid?
Always.
Constantly. It's always on my lips. Right? Says the Radak, why? Ki tamid hu oseh li nisim. Because whether I realize it or not, God is constantly doing miracles for me. Right? Think about the story, the backdrop to all this. David HaMelech doesn't realize the miraculous nature of what's happening, and yet ultimately he realizes that even the things that he didn't realize are ultimately miracles. And therefore, says the Radak, v'chayav ani levarcho tamid b'choleis, and therefore I am chayav, I am obligated to constantly sing Hashem's praises. I shared at the men's afternoon kolel, where we were talking about the bracha of Hagomel, that a person says after saved from, again, very difficult situations. So it's a very strange terminology that we use, right? What's the word? Hagomel l'chayavim tovot. Translate those words for me. Hagomel, Hashem who performs l'chayavim to those who are chayiv, who are obligated, almost like not worthy. Hagomel l'chayavim tovot. In other words, we're basically saying, Hashem, I'm not worthy of it. I'm not worthy of it, and yet you perform miracles for me. Ask Rav Kook, why specifically that language of chayavim, chayav? When we say the word chayav, how would we, what's like a normal context, colloquially, that we would use it as?
Must. Obligated.
Obligated. I'm obligated, right? I'm chayav in mitzvos. I'm obligated in mitzvos. Or, right, let's say I do the wrong thing. So you would say I'm chayav a punishment. I'm obligated in a punishment. I did the wrong thing, and now I'm deserving of a punishment for it. Why are we using that word here? Hagomel l'chayavim tovot. Couldn't we have just said, God, hagomel tovot, you did good for me. Why do we call me chayav? Says Rav Kook something astounding. What makes us obligated? What wrong did we do? Rav Kook says, that, you know what we did that was wrong? Is that we waited for Hashem to perform a miracle for us to realize that we had to thank him. In an ideal world, if we were all perfect Jews, we would be the fulfillment of this pasuk in Tehillim, which says, Avarcha es Hashem b'chol eis, that we would thank Hashem all the time, because we would realize that me waking up in the morning was a miracle, and the fact that I went to the bathroom this morning was a miracle, and the fact that I was able to enjoy my coffee, and the taste, and the smell, and the senses, that's all a miracle from Hashem, right? The fact that you and I go through our days, day in and day out, and don't recognize those miracles, that makes us chayiv. We are insufficient in our relationship with Hashem as a result of that. And the only times we wake up and smell the coffee, literally, is when, chas v'shalom, there's an illness and Hashem saves me. And then I wake up and I say, oh, Hashem, you're amazing. Or when there's a threat to me and Hashem absolves me of that and I say, Hashem, you're amazing. Hashem says, why should it take you those experiences to realize that all of life is a miracle? And that every second of every day, I am performing miracles on me. So I believe that's what the Radak is saying. V'chayav ani levarcho tamid b'cholos. We are chayiv. Our obligation is to praise and to thank Hashem every minute of every second of every day. There's this really strange song, I'm not going to lie. That's the Torah Academy had their concert this week. And one of the singers was Joey Newcomb. You can look it up online. So he has this song. Right, anyone know the song I'm talking about? No, that's one. It's about the crunch of a pickle. It's a really strange song. But my kids love it. Right? Krach of the pickle or something like that. And the basic message is that we have to thank Hashem for everything, even the crunch of a pickle. Even the crunch of it. Now we laugh. But if you think about it, there's truth to it. Right? There's truth to it. In other words, the senses we experience are enormous miracles. What would your coffee be without the smell of coffee? Right? Part of the experience, part of our joy in it, is that smell. When you walk into the lobby of the shul in the morning, it's like minion coffee, right? But without the smell, the coffee isn't as exciting. Right? Think about even marketers realize this, that our hot dogs are a certain color because they realized if it wasn't that same color, you and I wouldn't want it. And so the fact that even the krach of a pickle, even the crunch of a pickle, that you and I enjoy so much, that's a miracle from Hashem. So that's what David HaMelech is saying here. Avarchas Hashem b'choleis. Even the things that we don't realize, the things that we take for granted. Tamiti laso b'fi. I constantly, Hashem, have to be singing your praises. The Malbim takes it in a slightly different direction, similar, but a little bit different, where the Malbim says, what does it mean, b'chol eis, at all times, rotzeh lomar, bein be'eis tova, bein be'eis ra. Whether good things happen to me, or whether bad things happen to me, avarech Hashem. I thank Hashem. K'shem shem avarchim ala tov, just as I thank Hashem for the good, avarech ala ra. I'm going to thank Hashem for even those things that are difficult in my life.
Why the double lashon? Repeats itself.
Right. Why avarchas Hashem b'chol eis, tamiti laso b'fi. I'm not sure. Malbim says she'anim is mehalel oso tamid. One is b'chol eis, right? So the Malbim it reads right. B'chol eis means in every circumstance, and tamid means always, even right. It's all right. Okay, so that's pasuk beis. Almost the manifestation of what we would call gamzu l'tova, right? Gamzu l'tova. It's that notion. Okay, avarchas Hashem b'chol eis tamid tilaso b'fi. Pasuk gimel. Badonai tisal el nafshi. In Hashem, my soul will sing out. Yishmu'u anavim v'yismachu. What does that mean? Yishmu'u anavim v'yismachu. Who are the anavim here? So again, let's just read it most literally. But an anav is it's a humble person. The Mefarshim explain here that we're talking about the poor people. In other words, even people who we would assume don't have the desire to thank Hashem, even they, yishmu'u anavim, they will hear my praise of Hashem, v'yismachu, and they will feel that element of simcha. Now, what's the simcha that they're feeling? Right, the simcha that they're feeling is this notion that there's a broader plan, that there's this, that there's other stuff going on in the world, that even though I'm going through a very difficult time right now, ultimately, my emunah Hashem gives me that simcha. It's what we talk about all the time in Rabbi Goldberg's emunah class and this Tehillim class, that a belief in Hashem is the ultimate way of having menuchas hanefesh, of having a certain calm and tranquility and simchas achayim, joy of life, because the small things don't bother us anymore as much, because we recognize that it's all part of Hashem's plan. And so yishmu'u anavim, they're going to hear this, v'yismachu, and they are going to rejoice in it. Says the Malbim something, which I just, the words he uses are beautiful. In other words, the concept is intuitive, but his words are magnificent. He says, "Shenafshi tisalel b'Hashem," that my soul sings praise of Hashem. Says the Malbim, "She'ani mitpa'er," I am glorified, so to speak. Why? "She'yeshli av b'Hashemayim," with the knowledge that I have a Father in heaven, ha'ohev osi, who loves me, umashkiach alai, and cares about me, and looks out for me, v'shenafshi, hi chelek mimenu, and that who I am, my essence, my soul, is a part of him. Right? That's what gives us the simcha. Well, beautiful words. The reminder, the recognition, that we have an av b'shamayim, that we have a Father in heaven who doesn't just exist, but who loves us, who looks out for us, who cares for us, and that we're connected to. We are a part of him. That we don't just exist in this world for the 120 years that we are here, here 1 minute, gone the next, but that we have something that elevates us. We have what we call that chelak eloka mimal. We have a part of Hashem inside every one of us. So says the Malbim, again, such beautiful language, "Shenafshi tishalel b'Hashem." My soul sings out to Hashem. What does that mean? Because of that recognition that I'm not just my physical body, but that I'm inextricably connected to something higher than myself, something more elevated than myself, something more eternal than just my physical existence. Pasuk Dalet should be very familiar to all of us. Gadlu l'Adonai iti. When do we say that pasuk? When we take out the Torah, right? So what do the words mean? Gadlu l'Adonai iti. Who is iti? With me. In other words, all of the anavim, all of the people, the despondent people that we spoke about in the previous pasuk, Gadlu l'Adonai iti, they're going to join David HaMelech now in singing the praise of Hashem. Uniromema shmo yachdav. And we are going to exalt Hashem's name. What's Yachdav? Together. Right? What is this referring to? If you're alone, is it exciting to praise Hashem? Not really. If you're alone and you're going through a difficult time, right? Is that magnify the difficulty of the situation you're in? Absolutely. Right? The key word here, say some of the Meforshim, is the notion of Yachdav. That when we do it together, so it magnifies the impact of what we are accomplishing. When I praise Hashem alone, it's me. When we all come together, then it's Yachdav. That's why the Gemara says, by the way, that Amen is such a powerful tool. You say a bracha. She'akol niyeh bedvaro. Right? That everything that our God creates is amazing. I say Amen to your bracha. Why is that so important? Who cares if I say Amen? So the answer is, when you say a bracha, it's an individual activity. When I say Amen to your bracha, I have now taken your individual praise of Hashem and I've turned it into something called community. And that's why the Gemara says, Gadol, which is better? The person who says the bracha or the person who says Amen to the bracha? The Gemara says the person who says Amen to the bracha is better than the one who said the bracha. Why? Because I've taken your bracha and I've turned it into a communal activity. It's not just you, but it's we who's now praising Hashem. And that's why the power, that's why in Birchas HaShachar, I could say the brachos to myself, but we say them out loud in shul because we want to say Amen to it. We want that communal aspect to it. So it's not just enough to do it alone, but there's a power in this notion of Yachdav, of us doing together. By the way, I could talk all day because none of us are going anywhere right now. Okay? The Malbim points out, beautiful insight from the Malbim. The Malbim nails this Parakatilim. He says, you see here that there are two terms to refer to what we would call something exalted. Right? Gadol, as in this Pasuk, Gadlu Ladonaiti, and Ram. Ram Umisnase. Right? We refer to Hashem as elevated. Says the Malbim, what's the difference between the two of them? He says here, She'adavar haram. When we talk about Ram, Iafshar l'shum adam litvos bo. A person can't comprehend that. In other words, it's what I call like big. Big with a capital B. It's big God. It's incomprehensible God. It's the God of the cosmos. It's the God of creator of the universe. We can't even fathom what those words mean. Kamo, Rom Hashamayim. The heavens are so above us that we can't even comprehend it. Ve'adavar ha'gadol, kamo ha'amud, ha'nitzav, arzav, aroshim, agiyah shamayima, yitbos bo kol adam lefi gavo. Something that's gadol, though, we can understand. We can at least comprehend. And he says, v'ine ha'amim chashvu as Hashem kedavar ram. The nations of the world view Hashem as ram. In other words, she'iyafshar litvos bo, klal. God is big God, and we can't relate to Him. He created the universe, He created the heavens and the earth, but there's a distance between the two of us. What do the Jews refer to Hashem as? Aval Yisrael choshvim oso kedavar gadol. We refer to Hashem as gadol. Shekol echad yasiko to kviyercho. That we have an ability to, at least within our capacity, to relate to Hashem. And therefore I'm able to have a relationship with Hashem because I don't think that He is just some existential cosmic creator, but that He is near and dear to me. So says the Malbim, that's why it's Gadlu Ladonaiti. We refer to Hashem as Gadol here, because despite the fact that He is big and obviously that He is exalted, nonetheless I am able to have a relationship with Him. Pasuk hey, beautiful pasuk. Darashti es Adonai v'anani. I was doresh Hashem. What is doresh Hashem? I sought out Hashem. In other words, a relationship with Hashem doesn't come by sitting around and binge watching Netflix, right? A relationship with Hashem starts from darashti. It starts from seeking Hashem. In other words, we put in the first effort, and then v'anani. And then Hashem will answer me. Umikol migurosai Hitzilani, and from all of my fears, He will save me. He bitu elav v'naharu. I look toward Him, right? Men look toward Hashem. V'naharu. What does v'naharu mean? Upneim al yechaparu. And their faces will not be downcast. Depressed, downcast. What does naharu mean? Right, that our those who seek God, those who look at God, vinaharu. So there are two, the Mephoroshim point out two. One is like a nahar. What's a nahar? River. So a river is vibrant, it's dynamic, it's strong. In other words, it strengthens us. Hibitu elav, when we look to Hashem, it gives us strength. Right? If we were just being thrown about by the world around us and the trials and the tribulations, so that weakens us. But when we look to Hashem, when we remember that God's on our side, that gives me strength, that gives me chizuk. But the more popular interpretation is vinaharu, from light. It enlightens us. Right? What does that mean? It means that when you turn towards Hashem, what happens? What happens? What happens to our faces? Right? It radiates. In other words, generally in life, when I have to ask you for advice, so that there's an element of what? There's an element of shame. It's embarrassing for me. If I'm dependent on you, so that means that I am incomplete myself and I'm dependent on you. There's an embarrassing aspect to it. On the other hand, when we look toward Hashem, the more we look to Hashem, says the Pasuk, the more beautiful we become. It's counterintuitive. When you're reliant on people, it minimizes me. When I'm reliant on Hashem, that makes me radiate even more. That's Hibitu Elav Vinaharu. There's that element of radiance that comes to those who turn toward Hashem. Ze ani kara v'Adonai shomea. Ze ani, this is the ani. Who is he talking about? According to Moshe Forsh, he's talking about himself. I am the ani. I am the poor, impoverished person. Kara, I call out to Hashem. V'Adonai shomea. Hashem's going to answer me. Umikol tzarosav hoshia. And from all of my difficulties, Hashem is going to save me. Again, that's why, you notice I said at the beginning, every pasuk here is such a gem. Every pasuk here is so relatable to different parts of our lives. Chone malach Adonai saviv lireya ve'ichal tzeim. A beautiful pasuk, right? Which means what's chone? Like a camp. The angel of Hashem is going to encamp around those who fear you, ve'ichal tzeim, and he will
save.
He'll save you. He'll rescue you. In other words, the angels of Hashem, when you put your amunah in Hashem, Hashem almost creates that protective barrier around you. Now, obviously, we know, I'll get to it in a second, okay? Pasuk Tes is arguably my favorite pasuk this entire chapter. Tamu uru'u ki tov Adonai. Tamu, from tam, to ima. You have to taste it and come see ki tov Hashem, because Hashem is good. Ashrei hagever yechze bo, praiseworthy is the person who takes refuge in Hashem. Okay? Why do I think this is such a magnificent pasuk? Ta'amu uru. Because what's David HaMelech saying? You have to try it. You have to try it. If you don't try having a relationship with Hashem, you're never going to be successful in having a relationship with Hashem. Okay? There was a person I went to school with. I'll leave it at that, because now I have in my class people who knew me as a child. But there was a person I went to school with who, when we were already in college, we were talking about, and the person was struggling in their relationship with davening and God. And I said to them, I said, you know, it's fun. Like, you talk about struggling with davening, but when's the last time you've davened? Right? In other words, like, we give up on something without actually trying it, without putting our full effort in like, our kishkas into it. How can you expect to have that relationship unless you try it? Here's the greatest analogy to it, and I believe it's 100% true. Coca-Cola. When you read articles about the inception of Coca-Cola, you'll read the following, and this is a great drasha that I was going to use at one point, and I'm spoiling it here, but here's the good news. None of you are going to remember when I use it in my drasha. That's what Penny always promises me, okay? No, but this is priceless, because it just shows how true it is. When Coke was first created, it was the same product that you and I had nowadays. There was only one problem: convincing people to try it, right? Nobody was willing to try it. How do you convince people to try a product that you know is ultimately going to be good? So if you read the articles, and they've done research on this in business schools, etc., when you read the articles, what did they do? They went around and they gave Coca-Cola out for free. And they basically told, they were so convinced in the product that they had that they knew that if they could only get you to try Coke once, you'd be hooked for life. Okay, now we can comment. Exactly, right? And so that's what they did. They went around and they gave away, I forgot the number, but it was like millions and millions of bottles of Coke simply to get people to realize how good it was, knowing that the product would then sell itself. That's what David HaMelech says, a relationship with Hashem, what Torah is as well. Ta'amu. You have to try it. But we believe enough in the product that if you try it, ta'amu, that if you try it once, uru'u ki tov anai, you're going to see that there's a benefit to that relationship with Hashem. Think about how many people we know who, when they'll come over to our Friday, irreligious people, non-affiliated Jews, who will come over to our house on a Friday night, they'll put their cell phone off in the corner, and they'll have a Friday night dinner with you. And at the end of the dinner, they'll say comments like, that was amazing. I'm jealous of you that you have something called Shabbos, because I haven't felt that free and disconnected from technology and the world around as I have for the last 2 hours of this meal. I personally have heard it countless times. People who come to my Shabbos table, and afterwards they'll make that comment every time. They felt this freedom, this joy. We haven't had a conversation with people in such a long time because our cell phones were off to the side, right? So that's tamu. You have to taste it once to know just how beautiful Judaism is. We're always on our back heels about halacha and Judaism and a Torah lifestyle. No, we should be proud of what this represents. We have to remember that we have the truth. We have the real formula. And if we could only get more people to taste it authentically, right? Again, not a watered-down version, but authentically, a Judaism that's on fire, Judaism that's alive, then, uru'u ki tov Hashem, they'll see the beauty in the product that we are selling. Pasuk Yud. Yir'u es Adonai kedoshav ki machsor le'rayav. Where do we know this pasuk from?
Benching,
right? The end of benching. Yir'u es Adonai kedoshav. Fear. Right, the kedoshav, the holy ones, will fear Hashem, ki ein machsor lireyav. Okay, and those who fear God will lack nothing. Kefirim rashu v'ra'evu, lions are devoured, right, they're starved. V'dorshe Adonai lo yachsru kol tov, but those who are dorshe Hashem, again, those who seek out Hashem, will lack nothing. We say this at the end of benching. Now we understand why we say it at the end of benching. Okay, because we're talking about how God just gave us a meal, and we're saying that when you fear Hashem, lo yachsur kotov, right? You feel bountiful. You feel fulfilled at the end of a meal. You're grateful that there was food on your table. What's the problem with this psukim? Is it true? We don't know people who fear God and are also in need?
That's what I always find is so troubling.
Right? Of course we do. So the answer is, clearly, that it's all a matter of perspective, right? In other words, two people can live in the same house, and one person can feel overwhelmingly grateful, and the other person could say it's not as big as the house next door, okay? Two people, right, can drive the same car, and for one person, it's like hitting the jackpot. I have a car, I'm so lucky, it works, the gas, right? And another person could say, yeah, but it's not as fancy as my neighbor's car. So what we're talking about here is the notion of Ezahu, Ashir hasomech bechalko. In other words, what clearly is lo yachsur kol tov means is that we're grateful, we're happy, right? It's an internal simcha that says that it's a matter of perspective. Okay. The other thing that's amazing is lo yachsur kol tov. What's lo yachs chaser? They will not lack anything. You and I both know people that have everything and yet lack everything at the same time. Okay. We also know people that have very little and feel like they lack nothing. Okay? Lo yachsru kol tov means, what is it that is satisfying us? What is it that is satiating us? Is it our material needs? Is it the material things that exist around us? Or is it dorshe Hashem? What ultimately gives us that internal satisfaction, that fulfillment? Because we could seek it in the houses and the cars. And again, I know I knock on this stuff, and it's all important and it's great. But ultimately, what do we really feel is going to satisfy us and satiate us? It's that internal fulfillment of Torah and Judaism, right? That's what's going to fill our bellies, our spiritual bellies, and give us that sense of satisfaction. Okay, that's why we say it at the end of benching. Okay, it's to make us feel happy with whatever it is that we have. Lechuvanim pasuk yudbet 12. Lechuvanim shimuli, listen, my children. Yiras Adonai al Amarchem. I'm going to teach you what it means to fear God. Arguably one of the most famous psukim in all of Tehillim. Mi'aisha chafetz chayim. Who is the person who seeks out life? Ohev yamim liros tov. Who desires years and good fortune. Okay? Nitzor lashon chamera. Be careful about how you speak. Usfasecha medamir mirma. And the way that you speak, not to speak slanderous, not to speak in an inappropriate way about anyone. Why is this pasuk here in the context of this chapter of Tehillim? Why are we all of a sudden talking about Lashon Hara? Because at its core, Lashon Hara is the antithesis of belief in God. Okay, why do I speak Lashon Hara about a person?
Because you want to feel better about yourself.
Because I want to feel better about, and as I feel there's something lacking, right? Or God has wronged the world somehow. And if I say something about someone else, did you know that this person's doing that? Right? All of those, jealousy, honor, Lashon Hara, it's all rooted in, I'm not happy with the way God's running his world right now. And I basically think I know a little bit better than God. Right? So as we're in the context of talking about Emunah, in placing our faith in Hashem, David HaMelech says, and therefore, don't be looking over your shoulder. Don't worry about what other people have or what other people are doing or what other people are saying. Nitzur l'shon chamera. Sur meira. Distance yourself from evil. Va'ase tov. And do goodness. Ba'kei shalom. Seek out shalom. V'radfeyo. Again, you have to chase after shalom. Notice that has two words. Bakesh and radfeyo. Peace is the only thing it's so hard to accomplish that it's not just enough to seek it, you have to actively chase over it. Pasuk in Mishlei says, Shomer piv ulashono, shomer mitzaros nafsho. That if we guard our tongues, you want to know how to shomer mitzaros nafsho? You want to know the number one piece of advice that the Torah gives us for guarding ourselves from evil? Shomer piv ulashono. Watch the way you speak about other people. Okay, and again, we could go on and talk about those psukim ad nausea, but we are not going to. Pasuk tezayin. Einei Adonai el tzadikim. God's eyes are toward the tzadikim. Ve'aznav el shavasam. And his ears are listening to their cry out. Again, this notion of God's providence over us, that God's intimate involvement in our lives. Pinei Adonai be'osera. God, you know who else he's turned toward? He's turned towards those who do evil, but there, it's lahachris me'er tzichram. He wants to wipe them out. And wipe any remembrance of them out from this world. Pasuk Yichet, Tzaku v'Adonai Shomea, call out to Hashem, and He will hear you. Umikol tzarosam mitzilam, and He will save you from all of your difficulties. Pasuk Yites, Karov Adonai l'nishbarei lev. Hashem is close to those who are brokenhearted. Vestakei ruach Yoshia, and to those who are dakei ruach, in other words, their spirits are crushed. Hashem Yoshia, Hashem will save that person. Rabos Raos Tzadik. There are many bad things that befall a righteous person. Umikulam Yatzilenu Adonai. And from all of them, God will save us. Again, this notion of Savior. Who made a mistake about this? Elisha ben Avuya, who looked at Psukim like this and said, see, God, there are righteous people that suffer. Must mean that your system of justice is not as just as we think it is. And of course, the Gemara over there says, no, he made the mistake. He didn't realize that we're not just talking about this world. We're talking about the next world as well. Shomer kol atzmosav, achas mehina lo nishbara. He'll protect all of our limbs. Not one of them will become broken. Timoseis rasha ra'a. Okay, what's timoseis? In other words, it will cause, right, the rasha'im will literally be impacted by their evil actions. Okay, visonet tzadik yashamu. Those who hate the righteous will be wiped off the face of this earth. Podeh Adonai nefesh avadav. Hashem will save the souls of his servants. Velo yeshmu kochosim bo. In anyone who puts their faith in him, lo yeshmu, they will never be destroyed. As I said, each one of these psukim is a drasha in and of itself. And even as I'm reading it, and I hope as I was reading it together with you, certain psukim, I'm sure, resonated more than other psukim and jumped out at you. And that's why I encouraged you. Take one pasuk. Karov Hashem l'nishbarei lev. Hashem is close to those who are brokenhearted. Right? We all have moments in our lives where we feel a little bit brokenhearted. Right? Turns that into a relationship with Hashem, because that's what Hashem wants. Hashem wants that relationship as a result of that. Okay? So take one of the psukim. What do you also notice about this parak of Tehillim? With a few exceptions, what is it? It's in alphabetical order. Okay, I think it's missing the Vav and maybe one other of the letters. But basically, it is in alphabetical order. Why are things written in alphabetical order? What does that communicate to us? We say it in English, colloquially, right? If you want to say that something is all-encompassing, what do you say? You say it's A to Z. A to Z. So Aleph through Tav is our way of saying that this is all-encompassing. It's describing something in its totality. What are we describing in its totality? Again, think about the context that David HaMelech is writing this in. David HaMelech, according to our Medrash that we read at the beginning, he questioned why God created certain things. And Hashem comes back to him and says, don't question why I create things. Everything in life has a reason. Everything in life has a purpose. And then David HaMelech composed the Tehillim, which is written Aleph through Tav. It's written in its totality. What's David HaMelech describing? He's describing that everything in nature has its purpose. Everything that God creates, everything that exists in this world is part of God's divine plan. Everything has a reason. Everything has a rhyme. When do we read this Perek HaTehillim? Shabbos morning. What is Shabbos? How is Shabbos unique from other days of the week? We've discussed this in at least two other Perekim of Tehillim that we saw. We discussed this when we read Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos, and we discussed it in the Perek HaTehillim L'Menatzeach Livnei Korach, which is read just before this Perek HaTehillim on Shabbos morning. Okay? What is unique about Shabbos? Shabbos, Chazal tell us, is Me'ein Olam Haba. It's a taste of the world to come. You're right, also, right? It's the day that Hashem created the universe. Okay? What do we get a glimpse of on Shabbos? We get a glimpse of the totality of the world. We understand the bigger picture of the world around us. It's why on Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos, the song of the day of Shabbos, what was that song all about? Remember, it had nothing to do with Shabbos. What did it have to do with? Why do the righteous suffer and the wicked prosper? In other words, during the week, the world doesn't make sense. But on Shabbos, we get a taste of the bigger picture. And with that comes a sense of peacefulness and tranquility when I realize that God is ultimately in control. What do we realize on Shabbos? We realize that God created the universe. That was Pasuk Perek Yud Tes of Tehillim, right? That the sun comes out. Remember, that chapter of Tehillim was all about the sun and nature doing its role. It's everything in the cosmos filling its exact, unique purpose in the world. And that gave us comfort. That excited us because we realized that we are simply a drop in the bucket, but that there's this master plan that takes place around us. All of that is repeated over and over again on Shabbos because that's what contributes to our serenity in our Oneg Shabbos. The joy we have on Shabbos is the joy of a relationship with Hashem. It's the joy of the awareness that God didn't just create the world, but is actively involved in the world. It's the joy and the knowledge that everything fits. Everything has its part, and everything has its purpose. That every single detail of creation sings the song of Hashem. It sings praise to Hashem. And that's why we read this right after we read Perek Yud Tes of Tehillim. Perek Yud Tes of Tehillim, again, was all about the sun. I don't have a sitter here, but right, it was all about the sun doing its word. Hashamayim, Misaprim Kel. I'll find it here. Right, it was the Shamayim, it was the... There you go. Thank you. Right? Right? Hashamayim misaprim kvod kel. Right? I was right. Okay? Right? Hashamayim misaprim kvod kel. That the skies are going to sing the honor of Hashem. Umasei adav makida rakia. Daytime, nighttime. Ain't, remember we said, belinishma kolam. We're not going to hear them singing the song. How do they sing God's praise? Simply by the way that they function. When we realize that the world works perfectly, that is the ultimate praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. B'chol ha'aretz yatza kavam. Again, it was all about nature. Thank you. It was all about nature. How does nature sing God's praise? Because again, when we realize that the world works literally like clockwork, and we realize that we're part of something bigger than ourselves, that's what creates that peacefulness, that tranquility that we tap into on Shabbos. Comes along the very next Perek HaTehillim that we read on Shabbos morning, and we read it from Aleph to Tav. What is it really about? It's David HaMelech saying, I realize now that everything in this world has a purpose. Even things I don't understand. Remember, what's the context to this? David HaMelech questioned God, how could you create circumstances in people, in situations which simply don't make sense to me? And Hashem comes back to him and says that that's why you're man and I'm God. Because I'm able to understand things that you're not going to be able to understand, but just recognize and have the emunah, have the belief that there's a system to the world around us, that there's a purpose to every single thing that I create, and that every single detail of creation sings the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So to me, there's so many layers to this chapter of Tehillim. There's the pshat layers. In other words, there's just reading the words, which are beautiful. It's about singing praise to God. It's about calling out to God in times of difficulty. It's when you feel that nishbrei lev, when you feel brokenhearted and still not giving up on God, but turning towards God. Every pasuk in and of itself is magnificent. But when you put all the psukim together, they tell a really beautiful story. It's the story of someone who might struggle with certain things in this world, about why creates something, why God creates something one way, why God allows certain things to happen, right? And yet, it's ultimately our acknowledgement, it's our emunah, it's our belief that there's a reason, a purpose, that there's a place for everything in this world. And that's the emunah. That's the belief that David HaMelech put into Hashem, and that's ultimately the song that you and I sing every Shabbos morning in our Psukah de Zimra. Everyone have a great week.